Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
I have the best job in the world, and I get to be the youth pastor here at Living Waters Church, and I get to hang out with students like Ty and Monica. Why don't you guys come on up? Both of you can come on up. And yeah, give them a hand. Come on. And so today, you are going to get to know them a little bit better. They're going to share a bit of their story with you. And yeah, and then we're going to pray over them, if that's cool. So, Ty? Nice. It's all preachy. All right, go get them. Monica.
Well then, hi, I'm Ty Rosenke. I'm 14 years old, and I attend Yorkson Creek Middle School. I'm the oldest of three kids. My parents are Greg and Monica Rosenke. My dad is a gentle leader with a German background and works at PASMAC in the engineering department. And he's taught me everything I know about building things, and I've inherited his creative and inventive spirit. My mom is a feisty Colombian mama who's passionate about people, and she works as a personal trainer. She has taught me everything I know about community. I've inherited her passionate spirit and her love of people. Yep, a German and a Colombian. It gets quite interesting. I have two younger siblings. My brother Jack is 11, and my sister Maya is Thai. 8. I'm fortunate enough to grow up in a home full of laughter, but my family is far from perfect, but each of us know we are very loved. I realize I'm very lucky to grow up in such a loving home. I enjoy rock climbing, snowboarding, reading, tinkering, and riding my bike. I got a new bike the other day. It's pretty good. Yeah. And then the tire popped, and I was pretty sad. This is a snapshot of my life to give you a picture of who I am. I've been attending Living Waters Church for 7 years now, and I was baptized when I was 12 years old. Even though I'm young, I've had my first faith challenge this past 2 years. Family life was pretty normal up until that one day at the pool when my mom started to feel a sharp pain in her chest. She thought she was having a heart attack. After a huge scare at the pool, she went to get things checked up. Multiple blood tests, CT scans, ultra scans, and MRI scans. It turned out to be a massive liver tumor. The doctors didn't know what kind of tumor yet, but they were hopeful it was shrinkable with treatment. The treatment plan was to try to shrink the massive tumor for a solid 6 months before she would be able to do anything. If it didn't shrink, she'd need a risky surgery or a transplant. She sat in a chair, read her book with the radiation treatment, and waited for the IV bag to empty. Then she'd be sent home. She did this for about a solid 6 months. Sometimes I sat with her. As a kid, I remember thinking, my mom shouldn't be here. She's so healthy and she's fine. And then I went into denial. I blocked the help people wanted to give me. And when I asked how my mom was doing, I would just say, good, she's good, as if that would somehow trick myself into believing that it would become true. My family was hoping, praying and believing that treatment would work and it would shrink the tumor. I remember when the doctor came in with the news. Nothing happened. No shrinking of the tumor, but in fact, it grew. Sheer disappointment. It was though a ton of bricks was laid on my chest. This was bad news, because then it meant that the only possible prognosis was a primary liver angiosarcoma. This cancer is extremely deadly and extremely rare. It is one of the only cancers that cannot be screened via blood tests, so it's known as basically the ghost cancer, because you can't really see it. For me, personally, life just became real. And faith was lacking in me, and I wondered if God was really listening to my prayers, or if anything was going to happen. I was afraid, angry, disappointed, confused, and sad. I felt like all of our prayers weren't heard. I was questioning a lot. My mom always reminded me that God can deal with our fears, our angers, our pain, our sadness, and our disappointment. God just wants us to be real and honest with him. He doesn't need me to put on a brave face. He just wants me, broken, flawed, imperfect Ty. And I can rest knowing that he's got me. When the only possible surgery, when surgery came around, my faith was pulled, twisted, and tested. The day my mom left for surgery, I leaned in and believed that God had her in her hands and she'd be safe there. I believed that she would be fine after all of the surgery. That day, my brother, sister, and my abuelita, aka grandma, stayed at my best friend's house. I had a phone nearby, waiting to hear from my dad on the news about the surgery. A ding from my phone alerted us that my dad had an update. It went something like this. The doctor left a message, mom is in recovery, surgery went great, and just waiting to see her in the intensive care ward. At that moment, it felt like a ton of bricks was lifted off my chest and thrown a million miles away from me. Mom was gonna be okay. The surgery was complicated because the way the tumor was strangling both her portal vein and her pulmonary vein. Thankfully, it went smoothly, and she was a real fighter and came back stronger than ever. This experience left me with a deeper understanding of how life can be hard, and sometimes it can be really hard. But it's okay to have doubts, fears, and worries. We don't have to carry them alone. I learned that God is with me, not just in my heart, but in the church community, holding us up when we feel we can't keep going. My mom recovered from her surgery crazy fast, and she'll have regular testing and closely monitored. But as of now, she is free from the tumor. This experience also taught me about the generosity and God provisions and protection. Thanks to so many of you who gave generously to our family during this really tough time. Thank you for all your prayers, love, and support. Thank you.
I'm Monica. I'm in grade 12, or just finished grade 12. I'm going to tell a little bit of my story as well. So about 3 years ago, which is when I had first like really sort of committed my life to God, and this was like a huge shift in my life. It totally transformed my entire life. I was leaving behind a world that was like littered with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of not so great things, and stepping into a beautiful world of hope and freedom and grace. This was an absolutely incredible time in my life. I felt like I was seeing the world through a much clearer lens, and I was filled with an overwhelming joy unlike I had ever experienced before. While this was a super beautiful and amazing time, it also came with some struggles for sure. Because of lifestyle changes, a lot of friendships were strained, and previous ways of coping with difficulties had to be abandoned. And in the midst of this, I was dealing with some tumultuous family events. And so I found myself in a place of kind of confusion. I didn't really understand why, on one hand, I was so excited about my relationship with God, and I was eager to learn more and to press into him. But on the other hand, I sort of felt lost and alone because of all these changes that had happened so suddenly. After feeling this way for a while praying about it a lot, God started to fill my life with deep and meaningful relationships in every area of life. I found myself surrounded by a community of people, particularly in this church, that love and support me and help me deepen my relationship with God and stay on track as I pursue him. During this time, I also a little bit stayed connected with some of the relationships that I had before I gave my life to Jesus. But recently I started to realize that I had sort of been holding them all at arm's length, which at first was necessary. I had to kind of remove myself from that situation while I sort of sorted myself out. But I realize now that I had kind of been keeping them at a distance for much longer than I should have. And so upon coming to this realization, I started to really, really press into those relationships and invest in those friendships and spend time praying for my friends, particularly those who don't know Jesus. And immediately, God began to do incredible things. He brought people closer to me, people who used to be totally like distant from God or uninterested or even bitter started to ask me questions and be interested about my faith. People who I hadn't seen in years were reaching out to me and asking me for support. And one situation in particular that's pretty exciting is a close friend of mine who is a member of a gang and has been for as long as I've known him. Recently gave me the opportunity to hear his amazing life story, and then he let me pray for him as he begins the journey of trying to leave the gang life. Through these different situations, I've started to learn that God is giving me the tools and the support necessary to lead my friends closer to him. He's used a not-so-great situation and totally like transformed it into a life-giving, kingdom-building situation. He's led me to find truth and life in him while remaining in relationship with those who are against him. And he keeps giving me more and more opportunities to reach his people and to lead them closer to him. I'm not always very good at taking those opportunities right away, but he keeps on trusting me. And this is a really beautiful thing that I've been learning lately, that regardless of where we find ourselves, whatever life looks like, if we look to God and lean into him, he'll give us opportunity after opportunity and grace after grace when we inevitably fall short. He uses us in our here and now, whatever our life situation looks like, he uses us. I personally am called to full-time ministry, and I plan to become a youth pastor in the future. But right now, God is teaching me that if I slow down and look around a little bit, I'll realize that I'm already in full-time ministry right now, and that everywhere I go, there's people that so desperately need me to show them Jesus and to be a light in their lives. And I believe that this is a call that's on all of our lives, whatever our lives look like, whatever kind of people we know. Thank you.
I'd like us to pray for these two amazing individuals. I got to tell you that they really challenge me more than I think I challenge them. And I just am so proud of these two youths, two teenagers. And I think that the future of the church is in good hands. And so why don't we actually just stand and reach your hands out and let's pray for these amazing peeps. God, I thank you so much for Ty and Monica. God, I thank you for the work that you are doing in and through their lives. I thank you, Lord God, that you are not a respecter of age, that you use us, Lord God, no matter what age or gender we are. God, I pray that you would continue, God, this great work that you've begun in them. God, that you would continue to lead them and guide them, that they would continue to lean into you and lean into the work that you are doing around them. God, I pray just a blessing over Monica and Ty. God, I pray that you would just continue, God, to speak to them and to work in them, Lord, that they would set an example, Lord God, in this community, God, of your grace and your goodness and your love. In your name, amen. All right. Get comfortable, everybody. Just kidding. So, several years ago, I heard this true story about this guy who wanted to lean more heavily into his relationship with the Holy Spirit. He'd been a Christian for a long time, but felt like he was sitting on the sidelines a lot. So he started praying that the Holy Spirit would use him in greater ways, that he wouldn't shrink back from opportunities to be involved in the work that God was doing around him. He wanted to say yes to the Spirit more. So one night, as he's driving home from this youth event, the Holy Spirit speaks to him. It wasn't an audible voice, but rather this strong feeling that he got to pull over into the next gas station. He looked down at his gas tank, and it was full. Surely there was more to this than just pulling into a gas station. And there was. He also had to get out of his car, walk over to the pop machine just outside the convenience store, and do a handstand in front of it. True story. Not making this up. At that point, he tried to pass off this really strong feeling as indigestion from the pizza that he had earlier that night. He just couldn't believe that the Holy Spirit would ask him to do something so ridiculous. But he couldn't shake the feeling that he had to do it. So he pulled into the next gas station. He got out of his car. He walked over to the pop machine, probably really slowly, and he did a handstand in front of it. Moments later, a man walked up to him, and he said something to the effect of, "Okay, God, you win." It turns out that this man was planning to end his life that day. His life had completely fallen apart, and he was so broken inside. He was sitting in his car just across the street from the gas station, and in this last ditch effort, he prayed. He said, God, if you are real, if you have a plan for my life, if you want me to live, send somebody over there to do a handstand in front of that pop machine. True story. When I first heard this story, I got goosebumps. As a follower of Jesus, hearing this story invigorated my faith, and I was inspired to lean harder into my relationship with the Holy Spirit, hoping that he would never ask me to do a handstand, because I just, doesn't work. Doesn't work for me. I don't have any upper body strength. Now, I understand that for some of you here today, this story might seem a bit far-fetched, like an episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not. But I bet that all of us have stories where things have lined up just perfectly or a life-changing coincidence happened. Now, for me, I firmly believe that that is the work of God. Here at Living Waters, we just finished this awesome series on the Holy Spirit. We learned that we are new creations, and that as new creations, the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, we desire to do his will, to follow his plan. Because he's working through us, we expect to experience his power. Paul the Apostle writes in Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We are leaving the upper room, as Dave so eloquently put it a couple of weeks ago, with our eyes open, ready to do God's work in his power. This morning, we're going to spend some time in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 22 to 24. If you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn with me there, or you can tap onto it if it's on your phone. If you don't have a Bible here, don't worry, we've got you covered. The verses will be on the screen behind me. Now, before I read it, allow me to set the stage. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. He has this feeling that Jerusalem will be his last hurrah. A sense that was confirmed by prophets in several other cities he visited. On his way there, the boat that he's on makes a stop in the harbor of Miletus. Paul, not wanting to waste any time, decides to take this opportunity to meet with the church leaders of Ephesus. Now, this is essentially the last time that he's going to see them face to face. So he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24, and now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Amen. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul says, and now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I am bound. I don't know about you, but that word bound really stands out to me. It seems like a really strong word. It sounds like Paul is saying he's a prisoner of the Holy Spirit. And in a way, that's exactly what he's saying. See, the Greek word that Luke uses here for bound is deo. It literally means bind, tie, or fasten in chains. Paul had this close-knit relationship with the Holy Spirit. And because of that relationship, he felt like he was under the Spirit's constant constraint. So wherever the Spirit led him, in his heart and in his mind, he had no choice but to obey. Let me put it another way. There's this feeling that we get sometimes as followers of Jesus that we need to do something, that we have to do something in a situation for God. We don't necessarily know how to explain it, we just know that we have to do it. Much like the dude that we just heard about. Now, it's this sense in our heart, this gnawing in our spirit that we just can't get away from, no matter how hard we try. That feeling is what we call being compelled or bound. Some lean into that feeling and others lean out of it. Paul leaned into it every single time. Paul, as he's talking to the church leaders of Ephesus, is saying that he is fastened to the Holy Spirit. Where he goes, I go. The Holy Spirit is leading me to Jerusalem, and even though I don't fully understand it, I'm going to obey it. I'm going to trust that there's work for me to do there. Now, all throughout his ministry, Paul was determined to be the light of God in the dark world around him. He was bound to that work. I'm sure he felt it in his gut, like many of us do, that he was supposed to talk to those people about Jesus, or go to that city to help the poor, or go to that house across the street and talk to the guy cutting his lawn. I think he grew to honor that spirit, honor the Spirit's work within him. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit compels us to do something, it doesn't make a lot of sense in that moment. And more often than not, it takes us out of our comfort zone. It's a little bit risky. In those moments, we have a choice to make. Lean into it or lean out of it. And the former will fulfill us more. I guarantee you. Are we bound by the Spirit? Truly. Are you bound by the Spirit? Am I bound by the Spirit? Are we tied to the Spirit? Can we say, where he goes, I go? Is our relationship with the Spirit such that when he speaks, we listen? Are we so tied to the work of the Spirit that when he leads us to do something or say something or go somewhere, that we just have no choice but to obey because we're that close to the Holy Spirit? Paul then says, I don't know what awaits me, except the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Wow. How's that for honesty? There's no sugarcoating that one, hey? Come do the work of God, and you'll go to jail. Yay. Paul was going to Jerusalem with his eyes wide open. He didn't know a whole lot about what he was going to do there, the work that he was going to do there. But what he did know is that he was going to face hard times, possibly even death. To be honest, for Paul, this wasn't exactly breaking news. He'd experienced hardships before. Over the course of his entire ministry, Paul was beaten, put in prison, betrayed by those he considered friends, rejected, and ultimately killed. The Holy Spirit isn't pulling any punches here. He's not holding back on a hard hit. If he needs to speak some hard truth to us, he's going to speak hard truth to us. He never leaves us and he doesn't forsake us, but he's also not there to make our lives just rainbows and butterflies. The reality is, when we step out to do the work that God has given us to do, chances are we are going to face resistance, whether it's physical resistance or spiritual resistance. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, unfortunately, our fear of this resistance often keeps us on the sidelines. It keeps us from stepping out into the work that God has for us to do. We fear Vancouver's East Side because we value our personal safety over God's command to serve one another. We're hesitant to hang out with non-Christians because we fear their influence in our lives. We don't share our faith because we're afraid we're going to lose our friendships. We just want to be safe. We just want to get through this life unscathed, so we'll just sit. Paul knew what he's walking into, and yet he walked into it anyway. Do you know why? Because it wasn't about him. It was not about him. The day that he went from being a persecutor of Christ to a preacher of Christ, his life's mission stopped being about him. It stopped being about his desires and his comforts, his security and his ego. And it started to be all about participating in the work of God on earth. That stood above everything else. Paul faced adversities. Yeah, a lot of them. And we will too as we walk out the call of God on our lives. But let me tell you, adversity is not the only thing that we can expect. You see, Paul in his ministry also experienced great victories. Because he leaned into the work of God, churches were being planted all over the place because people were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Whole communities were being transformed and needs were being met. When we lean into the work of God, it might be uncomfortable, it might be awkward, it might be really tough. But it is the most fulfilling work that we will ever do. What's keeping us from doing God's work in the community around us? When we walk out and probably stroll down to Wendell's, what's keeping us from doing the work in this community, in the community that you live in, Willoughby, Walnut Grove? What is keeping us at bay? What fears and what attitudes are keeping us on the sidelines? It's a good question to ask ourselves from time to time, isn't it? Finally, Paul says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. This is a message about dying to self. Paul put the call of the Holy Spirit above his own desires and comforts because he knew that his purpose on earth was to glorify God, to be his hands and his feet extended in this broken and hurting world. To Paul, finishing the work given to him by God was of greater importance. It stood above everything else. At the Youth Network, our theme this year is Masterpiece. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul writes, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things planned for us long ago." Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I read Paul's writings, I get this feeling, this sense that he's really telling us that we weren't just saved from something, but we were saved for something. It's a big message I get from him. We're not just saved from something. We're saved for something. We were created anew in Christ Jesus, not to sit comfortably on the sidelines just waiting for whatever happens next or watching other people get in there and do the work of God, but so that every single one of us can participate actively in the good work that God is doing in the community around us. It's not an accident that you've been placed where you've been placed. It's not a coincidence that you are where you are, that you are rubbing shoulders with the people that you are rubbing shoulders with. God has a plan, and you're in it. He wants to do his plan through you and through me. Now, the work might look like reaching out to a neighbor who's going through a hard time. Or it might be volunteering at a local soup kitchen or the Salvation Army. Or befriending that coworker who's one of those extra grace required people. We all have them in our lives. I mean, except for me. I mean, I work with the most amazing people who don't need grace. It might be taking the opportunity given to talk to a friend about how awesome Jesus is. It might be quitting our high-paying jobs, packing up our comfortable life and moving to a third-world country where running toilets are a luxury. I don't know. Whatever it is, we need to lean into it because the world needs Jesus. because the community in which we live, the community of Fort Langley, the community of Willoughby, the community of Walnut Grove, needs to know about the wonderful grace of God, because the work that we are invited into is fulfilling and it's meaningful. Years ago, I was in Vancouver at a youth pastor's retreat called Time Out. After one of the sessions, my friend and I decided to go to a nearby coffee shop to catch up, because that's what you do there in Vancouver. You go to a coffee shop and you catch up. When we walked into the coffee shop, I saw this lady sitting at the counter. Immediately the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And I got this kind of sense that I needed to give her everything in my pocket. Now, I hesitated. And the reason I hesitated is because she didn't look like she needed money. You know, there are people that you're like, okay, you need money. This person did not look like that. And so I was afraid that she would, you know, I'd go up to her and be like, here's some money. And she'd be like, girl, like, do I look like I need money? Get out of here, you know? I would feel really embarrassed, right? Now, I was really distracted, and it got so bad that I couldn't be present in the conversation that I was having with my friend, who I hadn't seen in a long time because she was youth pastoring somewhere far away. But I couldn't shake the feeling. So just before we left, I mustered up all the courage I had within me. And I nervously walked over to the lady. And I said, hello. Hi. I don't know if you need this, but I feel like I need to give this to you anyway. And I was like waiting for her like, what do you mean? But she actually looked at me and she said, actually, I did need this and I thank you very much. And then I left. Sometimes it's the simple things. When God tells you to go and talk to this person or share your lunch with that person or give some money to this person, we're invited into the activity of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that so fun? Aren't you so excited? Aren't you so excited that God isn't just doing it all like on his own, that he's actually inviting us into the activity that he's creating around us? Isn't that amazing? And can I tell you that we're not just sharing in his suffering, but we're also sharing in his victories? And he's saying, hey, I want to share this with you. I want to share this with you. We don't have to create moments. They're all around us. We just have to open our eyes and lean into them. How awesome is that, hey? Why don't you stand with me? Would you bow your head and close your eyes just because it's just a focus thing? I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you this morning about something specific. I've been speaking in generalities. Holy Spirit speaks in specifics. And I believe that this morning he wants to talk to you. I want you to picture yourself in your place of work, in your school, your neighborhood. I want you to picture the people that are in those places, the people that you rub shoulders with. Is there something that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now about those people? Are you being compelled to do something? Have you been being compelled to do something, but you've been pushing it down? I want to encourage you to stop pushing it down. Do you need courage to say yes to whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to do in this moment? Maybe you feel compelled to tell people about the wonderful grace of God, but you don't know how to. And you just need God to give you the words to say. I wonder if we could all just put our hands out like in front of us. And I'm going to just pray. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. That you are God that is active in the world today. That you are not hiding somewhere. That you are not off somewhere just kind of observing things. But you are active, and that you choose to use your children to work through your children to bring about hope and peace and love and freedom. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to step out when we need to step out. Courage to reach out when we need to reach out. Courage to say something when we need to say something. God, I pray that we would no longer sit on the sidelines, but that we would lean into the work that you are doing. Because we understand, Father, that this world needs you. That this world is broken, and this world is hurting, and this world is dying, and they desperately need you. And God, we carry the message of hope and love with us. Let us share it this week, God. In your precious name, amen. This week, I want to challenge you to open your eyes to the things that are happening around you. And I want you to lean into the work. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I really want to encourage you to lean into that voice, into that feeling, and just see what the Lord's going to do. Bless you.